to live in such a system. Why? Because this way, most of your interests will be provided. If there is no system, then there will be chaos. In order to avoid it, to get the maximum happiness for maximum of people, then we will write a social contract. But underground, what happens is that the moment you have the money in your pocket and I have the gun in my hand, who is going to stop me from looting you? Nothing. So the problem is that when we are talking about the secular rights, that is, I said, the rights which are the foundation for democracy. When you're talking about rights, when we give rights to human, to people, without being connected to another source, this has no authority in itself. So the moment that they need, they can bypass the rights of others. Because when they talk about social contract, it's the value system that believes in the social Darwinism. In social Darwinism, what they say is that there is a pyramid. And anyone who is at the top of the pyramid has a right to do whatever they wish and will. You see, recently when this the storm of Al-Aqsa started in Palestine against Israel, what happened that Israelis declared that we are killing Palestinians because they are not human. They look like humans. They are animals. So you see that when it comes to the rights, what about the rights of people in Palestine? They have no right. Why? Because now it's my right. When it comes to my, as Israeli, we have power, we are at the top of the pyramid, so no right for the others. In order to dismiss them from the rights, they dismiss them from humanity. They say they are animals.
So this is the problem
with the system of rights, which is disconnected from another source. But in Islamic democracy, so we have different types of democracy. The one of them, if we accept it, and we call it Islamic democracy, it's a democracy. It's the right for people that this right is given to people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means that this is a gifted right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We have considered man dignitary. We have dignified man. We gave them honor, and nobody has this right to take away the honor from them. So the right as a human being is given to man by Allah, and nobody has such a right to take it from others. So originally the right to rule over people is for Allah, and Allah has given it to specific individuals to rule in a specific way. This way, there is no way just to bypass the rights of people. So we believe in the human rights, which is based on religion and observing the rights of Allah. There, the real rights of man will be provided. So philosophically speaking, about philosophy of law, we believe that if the democracy is going to be rooted in the rights of Allah and by the authority coming from Allah, that will be a real democracy. But the democracy which is based on social contract, those who have power in their hand, they are likely to change the social contract anytime that it suits them. So there is no guarantee. And this is what, when it comes on the ground, I mean, forget about the theory. When it comes on the ground, when you look at the democracies, look at America, why people talk about we are 99%. Means that we are ignored in this liberal system which calls itself democracy. As Malcolm X, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, there is no democracy. It is all hypocrisy. So democracy, which is based on religion, we can prove that, and you're talking about it, it will be real democracy.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you. Well said. And this is all the time we have. Have a nice time. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to tune in back next time. Bye-bye.
You came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the to us, you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
To our ports.
Hajja Fatima was born in 1948. This was the year Palestinians refer to as Al-Nakba, the catastrophe, when Israel wiped the Palestinian inhabitants from 400 villages. Some they entirely destroyed. Others were repopulated with Jewish immigrants. Hajja Fatima was born in a field while her father fought in the war. Within days of her birth, her family fled to Beit Anan in the West Bank, which is where she has remained her entire life.
First of all, this is my land and my country. It is not only the 1948 or 1967 borders from the sea to the river, 27,000 square kilometers. I am not ready to let go of a centimeter. This is historical Palestine.
Al-Quds.
Jerusalem, the most important one, the capital. This is Bab al-Shams, and this is Bab al-Karameh. The Jordan Valley has been conquered and taken over by the Israelis. Here is Jenin. We will never let go of this area. And north is the Galilee, now ruled by Israel. My mother brought me into this world on the 14th of July 1948, the day of the Nakba. I was born in a field and left for 24 hours while my father fought in the war. I now fight with my words. Although this is my only weapon, I'm strong because I'm right.
Since her exile, Hajja Fatima has witnessed dramatic changes in the landscape surrounding her home. From the construction of the Israeli wall, which eventually encircled her home, to the gradual building of Israeli settlements, which engulfed what was once Palestinian agricultural land. Her town was once considered the safest path to walk to the holy city of Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
The last time I visited Jerusalem, Al-Quds, was 7 years ago. But it is now forbidden by the Israelis. They forbid me from everything that I hold dear to me, praying in Al-Aqsa Mosque, buying sweet cakes from the old markets of Jerusalem, and walking through the ancient path of the old city. There is no place more beautiful than Jerusalem. I would love to be there just to see the markets, the shops, the old streets, and to pray in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Al-Karama was built because it is the western entrance for Jerusalem. It is near Jerusalem, and this is why we built this village and named it Karama. It means our pride.
Hadi Fatima described the land to me, stating, "The land is our bed and the blankets our sky." Palestine to Hadi Fatima is not exclusively about the land itself, but the Palestinians' relationship to their land. She told me that people can and will continue to live from the land, and only when their livelihood is taken, that will be the end of Palestine. Fatima sews each village and city into the map of Palestine, without borders, without boundaries, without settlements, without Israeli cities, and without the infamous wall built by Israel to separate what is now called Israel to the West Bank.
We want peace and they want peace. Our weapons is the rock and words. But we are rightful people. This is our land. Our ancestors are from here. Since 1968 they have been excavating tunnels, found a trace of evidence or antiquities. All of these antiquities are Arab, Muslim, Christian. We and our fellow Christians live together here. Jerusalem has the Church of Holy Sepulchre and it has Al-Aqsa Mosque. Whoever they want to imprison, let them imprison. Who they want to kill, let them kill. If they want to take a tree, we will plant 1,000. They break and we build. We are here for a long time. We are never going to be bored. They asked me, why do you see Palestine like this? This is my country and I can draw it as I want and make it more beautiful.
Fatima joined Palestinian and international activists from around the world in building the protest village Bab el-Karama.
They didn't leave their land or houses and therefore they became refugees in their own homeland. Jerusalem is near, only a few meters from here, so we consider Beit Iksa to be the western gate for Jerusalem. If they take this village, we wouldn't be able to reach Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is our capital, the capital of the Palestinian state. Whether they like it or not, it's ours and not theirs. We are here today because they are going to take this land to build the wall through it, and we do not approve that. It is the land of our fathers and grandfathers, and also the land of our sons and grandchildren.
About 1,200 hectares of from Beit Iksa land, and it just leaves about 2,000 hectares for the city, for the village itself. This is what had happened, and this is what they are looking to do it. The train that passes from near here in this neighborhood was passed from the lands of Beit Iksa, and the Israelis want to keep the citizens here far away from the bus of the train and the wall. That's why they separate the land.
Well, I was at the Bab el-Sham's protest last week, and I myself had my head banged against a bus by a soldier. The bus I was put on to be taken away from Bab el-Sham's, there was a man with he had a busted eye and a bleeding nose, and the soldiers would not let him receive medical attention.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin.
In this day, Al-Jum'ah, they pray here in their land because they know keeping their land is part of their religious and beliefs. For though here in Beit Iksa, the village that was surrounded by the wall from the whole bars from the whole directions to only one bath. This bath is come and go through the gate that is run by the Israeli soldiers. If you want to enter, you have to give them your ID and tell them why and when you are come to enter Beit Iksa. This is the exact separation. Beit Iksa is living in a big jail here.
It's very clear that the settlements and the theft of land are illegal. The UN has repeatedly condemned it. Members of Amnesty International and other human rights organisations, they've all condemned it. It's just every attempt made to fix the situation is blocked by the US.
Ed Knight described to me that he barely sees the situation on the ground in the news, including settlements, construction and Israeli apartheid.
I think since the experience of the initiative of Bab al-Shams, it has been exposed the Israeli settlements much more and the Israeli confiscation of the land much more. It's became have lots of interest in, within the international media, international community. And I think this is what we are doing now. If you continue this kind of initiative, they will challenge them more and more. And they will bring it from like a kind of a media coverage to political levels. And that's what we want. We want everybody to be accountable and responsible for this. Because Israel is here, like any, by the support of Europe, by the support of the United States. Here they are accountable, as Israel is accountable for what's going on.
Villagers assembled for prayers on the hill. Following this, they erected a tent structure and laid the first bricks for a new mosque they call Karama, meaning dignity.
You know, Beit Iksa's land is confiscated. Like, and we now have no land whatsoever. This is the last piece of land that has been confiscated, which is 450 dirhams. So the strategy here is to come and to build the tents, as you see here, and to stay in the land. So people is living, staying here, sleeping here, staying 24 hours in this land, telling the Israelis one message, the Israeli occupation. This is our land, we are not going to give it easy. You can give orders of like any confiscations, you can give orders of expulsion, but we are going to defend our land. We are going to stay in our land. And this is an open battle, you know, with the Israeli occupation power. So we have no choice but to resist.
This is very symbolic because back in 1948, when the state of Israel was established, the villagers here had 15,000 dulums of land. Right away, 14,000 of those 15 were taken away. And recently, they're trying to take away another 700 of the. So basically, they're going to be left with 300 dulums. The village here needs more than that to survive. They have a lot of land that they need to grow food and survive on that. So the Zionist plan is to basically build a wall around the village and between the village and their lands so they can't grow, they can't use it for agriculture to sustain themselves.
Even with immense international support, Israel handed the activists a notice of demolition. They destroyed the mosque and ordered all people to leave the area.
We've been here for 3 days. They always come. Today, Israelis raided our village twice. Of course we prevented them, as we will do every day. At the beginning, they used to build the wall and we would follow them. But now it is the opposite. They follow us. That is why we are staying here. They closed the checkpoint and prevented anyone from entering. Days ago, the eastern gates of Jerusalem, Bab al-Shams, it is called that because the sun rises from the east, and this one is Bab al-Karameh. So instead of Israel surrounding us, we will surround them because we are the people with the rights to the land. The one who has the right is the strongest.
Thank you. area is agricultural land, you know. And now we are surrounded with the settlements. And this area, it's have in the history the main road to Jerusalem, and the Israelis settlements cutting this main road and cutting the main road to the Ramallah.
We have come here today to construct Canaan village on our land, our Palestinian land, to practice our right to develop our land, to plant our land, to use our land. This is our natural right as human beings, to use our land. That's why we are here today. When we arrived to the area, Israeli occupation or fascist Israeli occupation forces has attacked us, has demolished the tents, stolen the tents. But we are telling them clear message. They have demolished Canaan village here. We will today, not tomorrow, we will build another village in another area in Yatta. Today.
We took the case to the High Court for petition to state that this is privately owned land. We were able to get an order from the High Court to not take the camp down for 6 days. However, the army stormed the camp under the pretext of security and announced it as a military closed zone for this period of time. I was shocked that I was unable to enter my own land.
Now we are living in miserable conditions. Because we are cutting from the other areas from Ramallah and Jerusalem. We haven't any work. Our agricultural, all of our agricultural land now it's behind of the wall.
The Israeli soldiers told us it was a military closed zone until the 13th of February. I was shocked to see that he had a legal warrant from the head of the IDF to extend the matter to the 13th of February. After the end of the 6 days, the Israeli court granted the Israeli forces permission to take the tents down. This was permitted under a false and unreasonable pretext, security. The area is isolated. There are no Israeli highways or military bases, no danger towards Israelis whatsoever. It is open land. I strongly object to this excuse that it is a military zone. This is merely an excuse. This, for example, is a title deed from Turkey that proves that we are the landowners. This deed entitles Salah Ali Jama and all the people of Tor to this land, which includes my family for generations. This title proves that these people are the rightful owners. Only the owners of this land have the rights to it.
Baba Shams was completely encircled by the Israeli army. All protesters were evacuated and Palestinians are now banned from the area. Although Mofid gained permission from the High Court to remain on the land for an additional week, the Israeli police refused this petition and dispersed the protesters without warning or warrant.
2 weeks ago, there was an open day near the wall. We marched towards it and planted olive trees and buried with them the names of martyrs killed by Israel. The soldier attempted to stop us, but we continued digging. The soldiers came, but we did not allow them to destroy our work. We resist. Our work is on the land.
Thank you. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to your program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran and different dimensions of the human soul according to the verses of the Holy Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And in the previous episode we talked about the intellect and the desire, base desire, hawa. We said in order to understand reason, we have to understand the opposite concepts. And one of the opposite concepts is hawa, the base desire. And we said there's a beautiful analogy, especially in the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, between the prophets and the intellect. The prophets are outward intellect, meaning that they lead people towards success, like the way a rational person, a person who uses his intellect, balances his desires in order to achieve some achievement and gain and success in life. Now, we said that like the way sometimes the message of prophet, divine prophets, are taken down by wrongdoers in their nations, in their people, among the people that the prophets are preaching, there are people who actually take down the message of the prophet. It's true also the message of reason is sometimes remains unheard within a human soul. Like, for example, for people who follow their desires, they don't listen to the advice of their intellect telling them this is not the right decision, this is not the right path. And the person knows that. You have some people that some addicted, you see some of these people who have fallen into the trap, I don't know, to the drugs and bad habits. If you talk to them, they actually accept that this is not the right path, but they can't do anything about it. So you see, the reason, the intellect that they have is already in the prison, actually functioning well in the theoretical level, that he understands that this is wrong, but it's dysfunction, it's not functioning in the leading. He cannot lead, I mean the intellect cannot lead the person towards the right decision. So this is actually true in some outward intellect, which is the prophets. Sometimes they are restricted by hawa, they have been imprisoned, they have been killed, according to the verses of the Holy Quran. كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ. Because the prophets, the message of the prophet was against the desires that they had, they would kill the divine prophets. Or for example, addressing the prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Quran says, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاهُمْ. If they don't listen to you, know that they don't listen to you because they are following their desires. Now, it's not that because they have theoretical doubts. Yes, for a certain level, at a certain level, at the beginning, people might have doubts, for example. But once the doubts are completely answered, and Quran says, يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ. They knew, like the way they knew their own children, that this is the divine prophet of Akhir al-Zaman, the end of times. This is the final, because they had some of the ulama of Banu Israel, some of the scholars of Banu Israel, because they had sources, they had descriptions in their books, and they knew it, that يَعْرِفُونَهُمْ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاهُمْ, Quran says. They didn't have theoretical doubts, but the problem was that they would see that their own position, social position, would be endangered if they follow this prophet. And it was not theoretical doubt, it was practical desire that stopped them from accepting the truth. We will have a break and we come back to continue the discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we were saying that divine prophets are functioning like the reason and intellect in their societies and in their communities, and exactly like the way that sometimes the voice and the message of the intellect is taken down by desires within one individual. It is also true that the message of the prophets in society and community are taken down by wrongdoers, by those who follow the desires. And Quran says sometimes when people reject the message of Anbiya, it's not out of theoretical questions that they have, it's the practical desires. فَأَلَّمْ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَكَ, if they don't answer to your call, فَعْلَمْ, know that إِنَّمَا يَتَّبُونَ, only, it is only, it doesn't have any other reason, إِنَّمَا يَتَّبُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, they only follow their own desires. Sometimes it's also possible that a person follows the desires of others, unfortunately. And repeatedly in the verses of the Holy Quran, we have this addressed to different divine prophets: do not follow the desire of people. And why is that? Because maybe that some prophets had in their calculation that if they listen sometimes to, for example, make some compromise, let's say that, those people would follow the right religion. And there are different theological stances on it. In Shia Kalam, we believe that even the thought and such calculation doesn't come to the mind of a divine prophet, and because of the infallibility. And these verses are إِيَّاكَ أَعْنِي وَاسْمَعِيَّ جَارَ, in Arabic they say that these are addressed to the prophet, but the real addressee of the thing is not the prophet, but other people who want to follow the path of the prophet. For example, you have two kids. One of them is trying to mess with a glass of water on the table. Then the other one does not have this in mind at all, but you want to warn the other kid indirectly, or even your husband, your spouse, you want to, for example, warn the kid. You address your spouse and you say, okay, do not mess with that glass of water, do not play with it, and if you do that, I will do this, for example. So that the kid that is listening present, he knows that this is the red line, for example. So this is also true with some of the addresses of the Holy Quran towards the Prophet. The Prophet never even think about certain things. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبِطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ, for example, if you attribute partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even some other like lower ranking believers wouldn't do that. So why Quran does that is to give clear warning, but indirect, to other Muslims. So this is also true that, for example, in this verse that we have, لا تتبع أهواءهم, in different verses, do not follow the desire of others. It is because Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that some believers would have this calculation that if they make a compromise, then, for example, they can make the other people lenient toward their religion. It says, no, do not. You could have decent and proper etiquette with them, but do not make compromise in the religion of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to know the true teachings of Islam. Thank you very much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala ali Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala آل النبي.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is Lantern. On the continuation of Lantern, we have an interesting story. Of course, after listening to this story, we have the speech of the scholar and the important points of this story. Are you ready for your turn? He was a student, probably in his early 20s. I didn't know his name. I really didn't care. All I know is he was going for a layup while playing basketball, lost his balance and fell on the ground flat on his back. We thought he would shake it off and continue the game, so no one really cared. To everyone's surprise, he never got up. At first, a few people on his team, later everyone went up to him, but he just wouldn't reply. CPR did not good. The ambulance personnel couldn't save him from dying. The result at the ER was no better. He was dead. As I came home tonight, I thought to myself, it could have been me going up for that layup. It was very possible that I could be laying in the cold city morgue right this minute as I type this email. Am I ready to die? Did I communicate with Allah today? Did I perform my daily prayers? Did I seek the pleasure of Allah? Did I treat my parents and family with respect and love? Did I give any at all in charity or sadaqah today? How many times did I remember Allah and recount His name? The entire day I made time to go to school, check my email, read the news, chat with friends, watch TV, play basketball. But did I even once say, Astaghfirullah? Did I ask Allah to forgive the sins that I've committed today? No, not once. Did I say, Alhamdulillah, other than in my daily prayers? No, not once, my friends. Would you like to know why? Because I was too caught up with myself and my daily activities. Well, guess what? I could have lost my life during a layup in a basketball game, and what do I have with me? Not a thing. Nothing that I did today do I get to bring with me to the grave. Nothing. A few words that I could have uttered were the only things that I could have brought with me. A few words that wouldn't take a few seconds of concentration out of the 24 hours. There was allotted to me a few cents in charity instead of cold drinks and candy bars could have saved my soul, but I insisted to continue with my careless attitude. Thank Allah, it wasn't my turn to go, because I sure wasn't ready. Now I close my eyes and say Alhamdulillah. Now I look back and say, Astaghfirullah. Now I have a different attitude. Now I want to prepare for my turn. Did you perform your prayers today? Did you give in charity and love? Did you ask for forgiveness yet? Do you care? I'm asking because I don't want to see you fall, knowing you aren't ready for your turn. Are you ready for your turn? May the peace and mercy of Allah be upon us all.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Lantern from Arab English Radio Well what we do in this program is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to talk about them explore them and explain about some of the points in those stories in order to take lessons and make use of them in our daily lives Well today we want to talk about remembering death The Prophet ﷺ was asked, O Messenger of Allah, who are the cleverest people? He answered, those who are the most frequent in the remembrance of death and the firmest in readiness for it. Those are clever ones who have taken the honor of this world and the favors of the hereafter. This story tells us that remembering death and consequently, being careful about our conduct is of so much significance in our religion. There are two groups of people regarding death. The first group severely escapes the remembrance of death, and these are people who do not believe in the hereafter and whose behavior in the world has been indecent. They know that by death they will get deprived of what they have. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was once asked, Why are we frightened of death and are not interested in it? Imam alayhi salam replied, Because you have destroyed your hereafter but have constructed your world. That is why you are frightened to move from flourishing condition to ruin condition. The second group includes those who do not fear death. These are people who believe in the hereafter and its assets. Who have acted in accordance with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who believe that by breaking the cage of their body here, they will enjoy Allah's blessings in the hereafter. Thus, they not only do not fear death, but also consider it sweeter than honey. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, the best gift for a believer is death. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also said, In death lies the salvation of the sincere ones and the destruction of the evildoers. For this reason, some love death and others dislike it. The great Prophet ﷺ also said, One who loves meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves meeting him. And one who dislikes meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes meeting him.
These hadith show how do the pious people regard death and the way they yearn for it.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life. Now, one interesting point is that remembering death and the resurrection day is the integral part of supplications. For example, in the supplication of Abu Hamd al-Thamali, we read as it is said, O Lord, at the time of my dying, bestow your mercy on my sorrow and helplessness. O Lord, bestow your mercy in the loneliness of my grave and in my fear and restlessness. O Lord, on the day of judgment, bestow your mercy at the time of the scrutiny of my deeds when I am disgraced for failing to give explanation. O Lord, bestow your mercy at the time when my friends take my coffin to the graveyard. While reciting of these supplications cures the sick and brightens the darkness of the soul. They purify the soul, broaden our mental horizons, and enlighten us. However, the sinners and the transgressors are those who do not believe in the accountability and the resurrection day, or if they have believed in it, they are spiritually bankrupt. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode has come to its end. For ending, I just want to say that do not fear death. Fear failing to prepare for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already fixed the date of your death, but you have been blessed with the time to prepare yourself for it. Every moment that slips by is an opportunity to do good deeds and seek forgiveness. But one day these moments will run out. So fill each day with peace, kindness, and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that the reward of a believer is never lost. Thank you very much. I really hope that you have enjoyed this episode. And until another one, I bid you farewell. May Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب
In the limelight.
Footage circulating across the social media shows several American war veterans burning their uniforms in tribute to a U.S. airman who recently died after setting himself on fire in protest at his country's support for the Israeli regime. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. USA Today has covered this story and tells us more. Aaron Bushnell, an active duty member of the US Air Force, set himself on fire outside the embassy of the Israeli regime in protest at the campaign of death and destruction in Gaza. US officials say he died on Saturday night, 24th of February. In a video of the incident, the man in uniform identifies himself as Aaron Bushnell and says, I will no longer be complicit in genocide. He later says what he's about to do is minimal compared with the suffering of the Palestinians. In the video footage, Aaron Bushnell is seen setting his phone on the ground before pouring an unknown liquid from a metal bottle over himself and igniting it whilst yelling, "Free Palestine," repeatedly. He then set himself on fire as he was standing in front of the embassy gates in Washington, D.C. on Saturday night, 24th of February. The 25-year-old airman eventually fell to the ground as police officers rushed to douse the flames. He was rushed to hospital with critical life-threatening injuries. Citing U.S. officials, USA Today said on Saturday night that he had passed away. A U.S. Air Force spokeswoman, Ann Stefanik, also confirmed Bushnell was an active-duty airman. Both the U.S. Secret Service and Metropolitan Police Department responded to the incident. The video footage was live-streamed on the social media platform Twitch, but it was later removed. Protests against the Israeli regime have become a near-daily occurrence across the United States since the regime launched its bloody campaign in Gaza in early October. The Israeli embassy in Washington has also been the site of constant protests of one sort or another. International rights groups have repeatedly said Washington, the Zionist regime's staunchest ally, risks complicity in the war crimes of Israel in Gaza. The administration of President Joe Biden has provided roughly 21,000 precision-guided munitions to Israel since the October launch of its bloody war on Gaza. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has accounted the administration of U.S. President Joe Biden responsible for the death of an American soldier who set himself on fire outside the embassy of the Israeli regime in protest at Tel Aviv's war on Gaza. Hamas said in a statement in the early hours of Tuesday, 27th of February, the Biden administration bears full responsibility for the death of the airman in the U.S. Army, Aaron Bushnell, due to its policy that has supported the Zionist regime in its genocidal war against our Palestinian people. Hamas stressed that the tragic incident acknowledges the growing anger among the American people who reject their country's support for Israel. The movement also offered its condolences to the family and friends of the American pilot. It noted, Aaron Bushnell immortalized his name as a defender of humanitarian values and the oppressed Palestinian people, just as did the American activist Rachel Corrie, who was crushed to death by an Israeli bulldozer in Rafah in southern Gaza in 2003. In March of 2003, Rachel Corrie was killed whilst she was protesting against the Israeli destruction of Palestinian homes in Gaza. Also, the website of Democracy Now! Reports a friend of Aaron Bushnell, the American soldier who set himself on fire in protest at Israel's war on Gaza, says the self-immolated soldier did not die in vain as he brought the Israeli-American genocide in Palestine into the spotlight. Speaking with the independent American news program, Levi Pierpont said, his views on wars and those of his friend evolved due to their military experiences. Levi Pierpont said on Wednesday, 28th of February, "Over the years, both of us shifted, of course, in our beliefs regarding war, largely because of what we saw in the military, largely because of the things that we learnt because we were a part of it." He added, "I want people to remember that his death is not in vain, that he died to spotlight this message." He noted that he would have stopped Aaron from carrying out the self-immolation if he had known his intention. "But seeing the way that the media responds now that this has happened, it's hard not to feel like he was right, that this was exactly what was necessary to get people's attention about the genocide that's happening in Palestine." Levi Pierpont noted that he personally conscientiously objected and left the military last July, and Arrow Bushnell also considered leaving the military back then, but decided not to follow the same path. According to Pierpont's remarks, the two found inspiration from social media content creators advocating for social justice movements in the United States. Pierpont expressed deep sorrow over the death of his friend, Aaron Bushnell, whom he met in Air Force basic training, saying he shed tears after learning the news about his friend setting himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy in Washington. The English website of the Al Mayadeen television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Video footage circulating across the social media shows several American war veterans burning their uniforms in tribute to a US airman who recently died after setting himself on fire in protest at his country's support for the Israeli regime's ongoing genocidal war in the Gaza Strip. The video footage surfaced on Thursday, 29th of February. It showed the former troopers taking turns to drop their fatigues inside a burning trash can. One is seen repeatedly stoking the flames whilst leading the slogan, "Remember Aaron Bushnell, he's not alone." The show of support for Aaron Bushnell is held in front of a large banner emblazoned with the words, "Veterans say Free Palestine." The United States has been contributing ample political, military and intelligence support to the Israeli military's onslaught on Gaza, which began on 7th of October. Following the Al-Aqsa storm operation, a surprise operation staged by the coastal Sliver's resistance movements. The Biden administration has so far vetoed three United Nations Security Council resolutions that have called for immediate cessation of Israeli aggression in Gaza. Washington has also armed the Tel Aviv regime with more than 10,000 tons of military hardware since the onset of the war. Latest opinion polls show a majority of U.S. Democrats prefer a presidential candidate who does not back the unqualified U.S. military assistance to the Israeli regime. The Reuters Ipsos poll showed 56% of Democrats said they were less likely to support a candidate who backed such an aid. Democrats also overwhelmingly said they wanted a presidential candidate who would call for a ceasefire in Gaza. 22% of Democrats in the opinion poll blamed Israel for the massacring of Palestinians in Gaza. The opinion poll results illustrate a potentially critical vulnerability for President Joe Biden, who has angered some within his own political party by supporting the Israeli regime. Biden's early and vocal support of Israel and his refusal to condition military aid on a change in Israel's military tactics has sparked outrage among the Democrats.
This
for
is
a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this is your host, Brother Mostafa. On this show, we discuss Islamic ethics and morality and what steps we can take towards reaching God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the most important topics that I think is extremely important in reaching God is how we utilize our time. Our time is extremely, extremely valuable. And the way we use it is, of course, going to impact our spirituality.